with Miss Victoria back to Children's Church. Any of you adults that want to go on back there, y'all can go on back there too, all right? Might be a little bit more entertaining, okay? Hey, look, can I say this to you? You know, out of difficulties, people respond. And I just want to say something to you. This week, my heart has been just extremely blessed. I'm trying not to lose it. The number of people that have just stepped up this week to get things going and to move forward on stuff. There's a lot of things that were just kind of like left in our hands, but people have stepped forward this week, and it's been an extreme blessing. And I just want you to do this with me. Say, praise God. Praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. He is taking care of us, and He provides for us, right? Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 today. We're going to be looking at a very, very familiar passage. We're going to be looking at verses 14, 15, and 16. We're in the midst of talking and preaching through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Of course, we spent a lot of time talking about the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes spoke of the formation of God in our lives. Starts on the inside, works to the outside, all right? So He starts on the inside with us in the Beatitudes, the first four. The next four Beatitudes are about the outside and about how we apply that out. So then He moves from the Beatitudes to from form to function. And so what we're starting to look through with the salt and the light is the functionality of what God has formed inside of us, okay? And so verse 14 says this, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a lampstand, and he gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Salt is what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and that references our influence in the world. Today we're going to be talking about light. Light references our impact in the world. Our life's effect. Life is cumulative, is it not? Okay? Day by day by day by day. It seems to drudge along at times, and other point in times it seems to move very, very quickly. But it is a building process. We don't start out from the time that we are born understanding and knowing everything that we need to know. It is a lifelong process of us learning. How many of you have said, in your 40s, that maybe if you'd have known some of this in your 20s, you could have saved yourself from a mistake? How about some of you, if I'd known in the 60s, in your 60s, what I should have been doing in my 40s, I could have saved myself some mistakes. We learn as we go along, right? Amen? Come on, talk back to me. All right, we're good here. All right, so we learn as we go along. We do not know everything that we need to know until we need to know it. God gives us what we can handle at the time that we can handle it, and He grows us through the process of us being stretched and our lives being built upon. And so as we look at what this passage has to say, our life needs to be an impact upon those who are around us. It's a life's effect. It's a cumulative effect, all right? So when you smack something, that's what impact is all about, hitting something, all right? And coming in contact with something else. Now, I want you to think about this. How big is the dent that you're going to leave in life? How big's your dent going to be? Is your life effect just a knock on a door? Or is your life knocking a hole through the wall? Okay? All right, I'm going to tell you a little story. This happened with our kids. Me as a student pastor. All right? All right? Tamar's already shirking away. This is a real good one. Kids were really young. Delaney didn't fall asleep real good, so her and Mallory did great, so we put them in a room together, all right? Well, they were joking around and kidding around and would not go to sleep. So Dad walks in the room, all right? So I walk in the room, and with my hand up against the wall, I go, "Boom, you girls need to go to sleep." I put a hole in the wall, all right, when I hit my hand. Student pastor at church, that was on a Saturday, get up the next day on Sunday, take the kids to church, put them back in Sunday school, and then they stay for children's church. Come out after church, everybody in the church has learned what Daddy did, right? Delaney's in the back going, "My daddy put a hole in the wall yesterday." All right? Not only that, my mother-in-law comes the next week, and she goes, "Guess what? See that right there? That's where Daddy patched the hole that he knocked in the wall." Impact. It was profound. They slept like babies for the rest of their lives. The hole was a reminder, a constant reminder. Look, our life is impactful. Sometimes it's the moments that we want to forget that mean the most, because they're life lessons that we learn over the course of our life to make us more useful for the kingdom of God as we grow older. Sometimes a degree of difficulty seems like it's more than we can stand. But as we're going through that, God is building us. He is shaping us. He is forming us so that He might use us functionally later on in our lives for His glory and for His purpose and for His kingdom. And so when we're in the midst of all that, we're in the midst of a learning process. The process never stops. Never stops. We're always learning, always trying to figure out how we can do what God wants us to do for His glory and for His impact of His kingdom better. So even as we walk through days when the doors seem like they're shut to us, or some days when they fly wide open and it ends up being in a place where we didn't want to go, God is using that. That's why He gives us this encouragement. You are the light of the world. You and I are the light in a dark place. The world is dark. We cannot expect it to greet us with just love and sincerity. We are light in a dark place. Most of the stuff that goes wrong happens in the dark. Most people don't rob other people, steal stuff in broad daylight. Most of it's done in the dark and in the shadows. So when you take the light into that kind of place, it's going to shine on stuff that people didn't want you to see. So we have to realize this. So when we run into the world with the light, don't think we're going to be embraced. Don't think we're going to be embraced. We're taking something foreign into this land. But God is going to use that. Amen? God is going to bless that. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, it says this: "And even though our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, those whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." So there's two things I want you to see and I want you to understand. As we are the light of the world, as our lives are to be impactful to those who are around us, and not only to those who are around us, but may shine forth for long after we are gone, because of what God does in our lives and through our lives. There's two things I want you to see. One is our witness is a reflection of the light. This passage that I just read and what we've already learned from the verses up in Matthew is that we're not the light. We are not our own source of light. We are a reflection. Our witness is a reflection of the light from God. And one time... this was a song, a Christian song a number of years ago, about the moon and about how the moon reflects the light. And one of my friends who's been a believer for a very, very long time came up to me and said, "I just don't know about that song. We are light." And I was like, "Yeah, you know, we are light, but we're still a reflection of God. We are not the source of our lives. When we try to create faith, it is messed up. When we try to create passion for the kingdom of God, it'll be marred. The passion and the creation for who we are in Christ Jesus comes from Christ Jesus. It does not come from us. We do not get to pick and choose where we go and what we do. We are sent by God. We are His messengers. We are His witness in the place in which He plants us. Went to see Jeanette Vieira this past week. And when I was seeing her, she's in a new environment, and it's a different environment. It's an uncomfortable environment. The words that came out of her mouth was, bloom where you are planted. You got to bloom where you are planted. She is not where she wants to be. But she's got to bloom where she's planted. You may not be where you want to be. It may not be your lifelong aspiration to be at the place which you are right now, or to be in the situation and circumstances that you're going through right now. But you need to bloom where you are planted. You are the light in a situation that may be surrounded by darkness. We need to figure these things out and stop whining and start shining. And if we will stop the whine and start the shine, God will use us for His benefit and for His glory. Realize that we are reflecting Him wherever we are. So if our attitude is bad, then we're going to leave a bad reflection. Get up and look in the mirror before you go out in the morning. Do you get up some mornings and go, "Oh my Lord, what is going on? It's going to take a lot of work right here today before I step outside." All right? I mean, Tamara came in the other day. I guess I'd slept wrong or something. I had this big old line on my face over here. It looked like a big crease, you know, like I'd gotten a wrinkle. All right? I mean, I'm a full-figured guy. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to find wrinkles upon me because I got fullness. All right? So I'm looking. She's going, she starts like doing this. I'm like trying to brush my teeth, and she's going, "What is going on? What have you done?" I was like, "I guess I slept wrong." She goes, "Nah, man, you're getting wrinkles." I'm like, "You got a cream for that? Come on, back off. It ain't going to go away like today, all right? It's a process. We got to start this, and we got to start now. If you want me to look beautimous for you for the rest of my life, figure out how to fix me. Come on." This is what our life should be like. Our life is an encouragement. The scripture says that we're put here in this place to build each other up, not break each other down. And so if that's what we're called to do amongst the believers, what is our witness supposed to be to the world? We're not to encourage them to sin, but we're to show them an example of how a life lived righteously is blessed by God. And how God takes care of us and prepares us and walks us through it, sees us through it, sometimes through difficulties, sometimes through great things that God has done in our lives that only God can do. God moments make the difference in everything that we are and in everything that we say and everything that our light shines out into the world. We are a reflection of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 says this: "There came a man sent from God whose name was John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all may believe through them. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man." John's job was a forerunner of Jesus Christ to tell everybody else that the Messiah was coming. And in some places and in some times, he was right there with the Messiah telling his disciples that were following John the Baptist that they needed to go and follow Jesus, the true Messiah. God used him mightily to prepare the way for Christ. He was not the light. He was the one that shone the light out before everyone else, so that when the true light came, they could recognize it. Sometimes our job is to go out and break new ground. Go into places where no one else will go. Do things, stand up for things that some people won't stand up for. Say things that need to be said that sometimes are difficult for us to, for the world to hear. You're not going to get applause for that. Probably not going to get a medal for it. But all of the Beatitudes that we just read before this, remember, this is a letter. This is a sermon that Jesus is preaching. He just got through saying, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of the glory of the gospel." And now he says, "You got to go be the light." Blessed are those who show mercy to other people, maybe when you haven't been shown mercy. Blessed are those who are pure at heart, maybe when the world is corrupt. And you're living in a corrupt world, and you got to be pure. That's hard. That's really hard to do. But you're the witness. God has called us to that. If the world can't see Christ in us. And Jesus has already said, this generation looks for a sign of Jonah, which is not going to come. Where else is the witness going to come from? Where's it going to come from? Is it going to come from the president? Probably not. Is it going to come from Russia? Probably not. All the stuff that we see and that's written about in the world, each and every single solitary day, are they going to get a light of Christ from every single bit of that? No, they're not. They're only going to get it from us. And we can't create it. We can't fake it until we make it. We got to believe it and know it and let the light of Christ shine on us and through us so that we can be a reflection or a witness of the light of Christ in a dark world. The second thing I want you to see in what this passage says is it talks about not only our light, but it talks about the fact of our witness as a reflection of light. Our intensity is a measure of the light. I'm talking about wattage. Okay, we just moved into a new house when we moved up here in the neighborhood. And when we moved up to the area, moved in this new house, I don't know where they bought the light bulbs for our house, but they had to have been at the dollar store or something because they were the dimmest lights I have ever seen in my entire life. In fact, some of the light fixtures that are in our brand new house have one light bulb, and I swear it had like 3 watts in it. So we would walk in and flip on the light to go into a bedroom or something, and you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, man. We're going to have to buy lamps for days. And so I get up there and we go find these high wattage, you go into Lowe's or Home Depot now and the lights tell you how many lumens. Have you seen that? How many lumens? More lumens are better. Do you know that? Did y'all know that? More lumens are better. So the more lumens that you got, the brighter the light is going to be in your room. So man, I'm going into Lowe's. I'm spending like $8 a bulb, you know what I mean? To buy these high aluminum light bulbs so that they'll open up and give us some light in our house. Now look, if you've got an A-frame ladder, I could really borrow one right now because my den has 3 light fixtures with these little light bulbs in it, and I can't reach it because it's too high, and one of them's blown, so there's only like 2 lights in our den. So we sit in our den like this, or if we're trying to read something, we're like holding it up. You can only be in our den during the daytime hours, all right? If you go in there at night, it's just totally over. If you got a big ladder, I'll take it from you for a day. Lumens matter. Our wattage, our brightness matters. We can't go out there and say, I'm a Jesus follower. Love Jesus. Jesus loves you. There's no enthusiasm with that, is there? There's no wattage. Your lumens are like my bulbs in my house. You're barely on. No one can see a thing when you are. Where to shine how? Brightly. Are you to go hide your light? No. Where does it say the light is supposed to go? On the top of the hill. So what? Everybody can see it. We're not supposed to walk around and go, this is my light. See? See my light? And then cover it back up and go home. Our light needs to shine brightly before all men. I'm sorry. What's your name again? I'm calling somebody out.
Aaliyah.
Does everybody know where Aaliyah works? Yeah. Loretta's, right? I've known Aaliyah for a long time, and I didn't know Aaliyah. Because I go there how often, Aaliyah?
At least
right here. Country cooking. I want to tell you something. That smile that is on that face right now is on 24/7 working there. And everybody's not as nice as me, are they? No. Nah, maybe. All right. She'll never come back. I'm sorry I blew that one. But I will tell you this. She has made an impact on my life going to eat there because of her brightness. When you go there, it's all smiles. How can I help you? What a blessing it is just for you to be in this place today. Thank you for allowing us to serve you. That makes a difference. It makes a huge difference in who we are. It's a simple thing. It's an attitude. It's a persona of who we are. And people see it. They notice it. It is something that is transformative. They want to be around happy people. They don't want to be, this is my light, let it shine before you. They won't. Hey, Jesus makes a difference. And I'm a Christ follower. How can I help make a difference in your life? By just serving you, by sharing with you, by living that before you. How can I do that? By praying for you. Marcia, how many people does Marcia just say, how can I pray for you? And how many people respond to her? All of them. Why? Because they want to know that somebody else cares about what's going on in their life. This is how we make a difference. This is how we not only influence the world, but we impact it for the kingdom of God. Knock a hole in it. Leave a message. Leave something behind that shows everybody who you are. It's not your bank account that's going to leave a legacy. They're going to split that up, whoever's left. It's going to divide it up and it's going to get gone. They're going to buy crazy stuff with it and you're going to go, what was I thinking? That's not going to be your legacy. Your legacy is going to be how you live before them. What you said to them. How you showed it. How not only you showed it, but you shared it. That's how we make a difference. That's how our wattage goes up. That's how, and Paul was all over this. I've told you guys this before, but 1st and 2nd Timothy are the last two books that he writes. End of his life, he's pouring into his protege. And what does he say to him? God has lit a fire in you, in 1 Timothy, he tells him. You need to fan that flame. You need to pick it up. Don't look at what life has dealt you. Look at how God is working and doing and what he's doing in you. Circumstances change all the time, day to day. Who we are in Christ does not. Who Christ is does not. What God has done does not. Every single bit of this should be impactful to us. I'm going to give you Old Testament, New Testament, all right? Old Testament, Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says this, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. We can impact our world. Those who have insight. Where does the insight come from? Is it stuff we just make up? No, our insight comes from the Word of God. God's Word tells us what we should say. God's Word tells us how we should live. If we will follow those two precepts in our lives, then we will know when to shine, how to shine, and be the light. Know what to say. I don't know what to say. Then you need to step back and ask God what to say. Because God will give you the answer. He will give you the insight so that you will shine brightly. John 1, verse 4 says this, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Everybody on the planet is not alive. Do you get that? Everybody on the planet is not alive. Jesus says, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Scripture says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. To me, that's one of the most important statements in all of Scripture, if not the most important. He is the way, the truth, the life. So those who are living apart from him, their heart is beating, but they ain't alive. some of us who are followers of Christ are not lit. We're not alive in Christ. We need to let this light shine. If you're here this morning and you have dimmed down, it is time to turn it up. It is time to turn it on, so that we might glorify Him. It is time to increase our brightness. It is time for us to turn up the wattage. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9 says this, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of in all goodness and righteousness and truth." So, Paul is telling the church at Ephesus that their light needs to shine. Not only does he tell them that their light needs to shine, he needs to say, you need to remember the fact that you were dark. Do you remember being lost? Man, I remember being lost. I also remember going and getting dunked in my church, my home church, thinking that that was the cure. That water in a baptistry is not the cure. It will flow over you, and you will be the same when you come out if you're not this different on the inside. That is an outward expression of an inward change. If the inward change hadn't happened, you went swimming in front of a bunch of people. But if it did change, then it changed your life. You came out a new creature, a new creation. And then it says, if you are that children, you do have the light. You need to walk that way. It doesn't say you need to wander that way. It says you need to walk. You and I are on a journey. Every single one of us, our journey is different. But you are on a journey. Your life has direction. Your life has meaning. And while you're on that path, that highway, whatever way that the scripture expresses it, that it is lit before you. It is lit. Read Psalms 119. Tells you that. A lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. He is lighting the way for us to go. That way is directional. There is a direction that we are going. It is not a wandering. Stay on path. Walk as children of the light. And then he tells you how to stay on that path. He says three things. It consists of being good, righteous, and truthful. I know y'all have never done this, but I have done it once. Okay, I'm just going to tell you my bad example. You ever said a lie? Oh, man. Let me tell you, I did that one time. It's not good. Don't ever do that. What's the bad thing about lying? You have to tell another one to keep the lie, don't you? The lies build up, and the lies build up. You know the good thing about telling the truth? You got to work for it, man. Just tell the truth. Tell the truth, that's the truth. You ain't hiding from that, are you? So do good. Make the most of every opportunity that you have to do good in this world. Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 6. Go read them. Do good. Make the most of all the opportunities that you have. Then it says what? Righteousness. We've already been through that. Pure of heart. Living the right way. Living the right way. April 15th is coming up. Don't cheat the government. Pay your taxes. Live righteously. Don't make them come after you. Do the right thing, even when it means you got to write a check to the wrong people. Amen? All right. Do the right thing. Speak the truth. Sometimes that's difficult. Ephesians chapter 4 says we have to speak truth in love. In love. Makes a big difference. I always tell Tamara when I have to tell her something like that, you know, I say, this is in love, baby. Just got to go tell you. Just need to say this. that keeps the back of the hand off my face. Speak truth in love. If we live like this, our light will shine, and it'll shine before men. It'll be brightly seen. Who gets the glory for that? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the glory of my kingdom. Don't win here, you win there. But you got to shine here. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, thank you so much for just what you do for us and how, Father, you prepare us and take care of us. Lord, you knew who was going to be here today. There's no one here by chance. Everyone's here purposefully. This is not my word. This is your word. I haven't said anything that people in this place probably haven't heard before in some way, shape, form, or fashion. But Lord, you are God. And it resonates. And it burns inside of us. You are a consuming fire. Lord, help us to shine. Burn brightly in us and through us. Set us on a hill so that all may see. Help us not to hide our light. Help us to go into the world and be the example of Christ. Some may only see us. And Father, I pray that we'll do all that's within us to live for you each and every day. These things we ask now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. As we sing this morning,